Wake up call file for 0731 and 0801 2021. Wake up 0731 and 0801 2021.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. First of all, thank you for tuning in and joining us again this weekend. We look forward to spending time with you and hope you look forward to being with us. Or I guess you wouldn't be here if you didn't. We also would like to remind you to please, as you hear our sponsors' commercials, take time to go and visit them and thank them for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We are now in our eighth year, and we're very proud to have a lot of our sponsors have been with us that whole time. So we appreciate them. We want you to go by, see them. Tell them you heard about us on CCTA Wake Up Call. All right, we have a special guest for us today. I do have to do a disclaimer. Now, our guest is former Representative Mark Walker, and Mark is running for Congress, for Senate. And we, as a nonprofit, 501c3, we do not endorse candidates. So this is not a political endorsement of Mark Walker, but what we do is we try to interview as many of them as we can so you can get to know the candidates and make your own wise choices as to who you might want to vote for. So, Mark, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Well, good evening, Rick. We're glad to be with you guys, and looking forward to spending some time with you and talking about some of the very important issues that are affecting our country right now.
Well, there's a lot of them to choose from, so there's no shortages. Let me kick it off. I want to ask you, are you listening, or have you had a chance to listen into the January 6th hearings that are going on?
I've not sat down and listened to all of them, but I am paying attention because I've got some, still have many friends there serving in the U.S. House. In fact, Jim Banks, who was kicked off the committee by Speaker Pelosi, is the RSC chairman, and that was my position. I became the first new member ever elected to chair the largest caucus there in Congress, formerly chaired by Mike Pence and Jim Jordan. So I'm keeping tabs of those guys, obviously watching some of it, but kind of talking with my team inside the Beltway at the same time.
Understood. Also, the way the commission was put together, the composition of the commission, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, Speaker Pelosi pulled something that was unprecedented. In the 6 years that I served there, 4 years I was in the majority, 2 years in the minority. And the rule has always been any kind of special commission or committee for that matter, the minority party or the majority party, they are the ones that get to select who they want seated on this select committee or any other committee for that matter. Yeah. So for Speaker Pelosi to pull this unprecedented power move is really historical. But I'm in talking and watching this lady and serving in the same chambers for 6 years. This is her last term. So not that she's ever been withdrawn or reserved at all, but I think she's going to continue to push just how far and how much that she can get away with in doing and pulling stunts like this. Now, at the same time, I think it discredited the committee from the very beginning when you have strictly a partisan committee and the only two so-called Republicans that you have on there are a couple really rhino hacks that wouldn't have been selected by McCarthy or Scalise or anybody else. So So I think it damaged their credibility to even have this, and I think fewer and fewer people are paying attention because of just how partisan it is.
Absolutely. Rainer has a question for you.
Not a question. I want to make a gentle correction. You referred to Nancy Pelosi as a lady. If you think that over, you may think that you misused the term.
Now, Rainer.
No, let me tell you, I thought maybe alien at times, looking across the chambers there. But the interesting thing, though, is that she has all those Democrat people, even though when they're running for office, will say they're going to be moderate or they're going to vote their own way. By the time that Pelosi gets through with them and threatens them with the different monies, the super PACs are getting reelected. It's amazing that nearly every single one of them eventually cracks and lines up behind
him. Mm. Right.
Yes.
Mark, Hal James here. Sir, I understand that you are running for Senate. Maybe some of our listeners are as unknowledgeable enough as I am about that. I know we have two U.S. senators from North Carolina. But you running for any particular seat or just one of two seats? How does that work?
Well, no, it's a great question. We have two U.S. senators, Richard Burr and Tom Tillis. Both of them, for the record, voted the wrong way last night, and I don't mind going on record saying that, once again, lack of fiscal responsibility. Richard Burr is retiring, so I'm running to replace that particular seat. We are rated the number one America First pro-Trump conservative. In fact, we would be 2 points higher than Ted Cruz if and when elected, and that's according to Project 538, if anybody needs to source that. So when it comes to holding the line, from a fiscal conservative standpoint, as well as social, but part of our branding is something that we've been able to do. I was the last member in the United States Congress to force a balanced budget amendment vote on the floor in 2018. We had 239 Republicans at the time, and I believe only 170 of them voted for it. So that kind of gives you the idea of who's actually serious as far as getting a fiscal house in order.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark, talking about Nancy Pelosi, another thing that she has recently done, I think it was today, is to order that all members of the House must wear a mask at all times. Would you care to comment on that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we actually went strong against that immediately. And I believe my statement, and I think I'm trying to get it exactly verbatim. It says, liberty has a threshold. I hope the CDC, Fauci, and the Biden administration understand the American people are done masking their children in schools, shutting down their businesses, and closing their houses of worship, and I'll be standing with them. Now, Pelosi, as I said earlier, she's going to continue to ratchet up until she feels like that the American people, specifically even these members and really the staffs who she's threatened to arrest, are going to push back. And I think we're seeing collectively the Republicans elected in the House have said, okay, enough's enough. We're drawing the line. Come and get you some. Now, it should have happened before, but I think this is really reaching the tipping point where she's going to keep prodding that she literally crosses a line that she can't get back from. And I don't mean that from a physical threat standpoint. I just mean it from a political standpoint that it's like these crazy Texas Democrats that flew from Texas to D.C. and passed COVID all up to everybody, or to a lot of people. At some point, you keep overplaying your hand, and it backfires on you, and you lose credibility, and I think that's where she is right now.
I understand. The border situation. We have people coming across the border, bringing COVID in, and spreading it throughout the country because they're being bused or flown all over the country, and they're tested positive for COVID. And that seems to be okay. But every American citizen is being strong-armed into having to have a vaccine and wear a mask. Your comments on that?
Yeah, no, that's an incredibly good point there. And I think what's crucial, the point that you're making is, is this double standard, once again, for Americans, and yet we're giving a pass to all the things that we're seeing at the border. The last 2 years, I was ranking member on the Committee on Homeland Security's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Subcommittee. So my job was to monitor the border. I've been there in the Rio Grande Valley. I've seen the problems. I've seen the suffering from our border agents who were not even able to do their job. In fact, one of the striking impressions when I was down there in 2019, I'm walking in, meeting with a director, and there's this whiteboard with 69 different countries written on this whiteboard with dry erase markers. And I asked the director, I said, can you tell me what those countries are? I see Sudan. I see Iran. I see Saudi Arabia. He said, yes, Congressman. He said, those countries represent the individuals that we've apprehended from these different countries. And blew me away, because the misnomer is this is just about people from Central America. It's not. China was on there. We've been able to apprehend many. We've been able to apprehend child traffickers. We've been able to apprehend some of the drugs. But I sometimes wonder, with the amount of influx, how many people are not just the catch and release, but how many people are coming across that we don't even know about that's bringing disease, that's bringing criminal backgrounds? When I served on the House Oversight Committee with Ron DeSantis, Trey Gowdy, Jim Jordan, Jason Chaffetz, we went after the Obama administration for the last 2 years. But we identified 39,000 felons that had come across the border in the last 2 years of the Obama administration. That's the kind of stuff that we're dealing on. Now, if you thought it was bad then, why don't you increase it by 200 to 300%? And that's what we're facing right now.
Definitely a dire situation.
Mark, I'd like to say that with Joe Biden's town hall last week on CNN, he, among many wrong facts that he stated, he said that the border crisis was getting better, that the number of detainees was down 90% last month. Now, actually, 28,000 people who came through it's one of the highest months we've had in the past 6 months. But he said the number of detainees are down 90%. Well, we know that's because they're busing them all over our country. They're not holding them. They're not keeping them for any amount of time. So he's able to tout that number. So, you know, that's just another way of the left and their messaging to make it look like everything's going okie-dokie, but that is not what you're seeing. Is that correct?
You are 100% complete propaganda. First of all, if it's on CNN, you can almost guarantee that it's propaganda. Number two, they are manipulating the numbers, because when middle America starts to get concerned about things, which they were, they were underwater, and it's one of the reasons that the administration's favorable rating has continued to sink like a rock, now down in the 40s. So it is interesting to see how they're going to try to continue to spin the narrative at the border, crime in the cities, inflation, et cetera, because you're talking about, I was thinking about this just yesterday. You're getting to a place where people are going to think, hey, maybe Jimmy Carter was the better president. And if you're being compared to that, you mean you're between a rock and a hard place. But and not even trying to be humorous, this is how flawed this administration is. Of course, I will tell you this, is I have been on record, I'll say it again, I don't think Biden finishes this term. I think the plan is to put Kamala, the vice president, Kamala Harris, in there, but they're realizing that she is so incompetent that they've got a problem now. And most of you remember my friend Tulsi Gabbard, who literally took down Kamala Harris, and she had nothing to say. This lady is not competent to lead anything, much less become the president. But that was the game plan. But they're in a little bit of a bind right now as far as finding people that can get this moving forward, because certainly President Biden can't go out and talk about these issues. We've seen that enough on video.
Right. Okay, Mark, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, and this evening we have our special guest, former representative from North Carolina, Mark Walker, and Mark is running in 2022 for Richard Burr's Senate seat. Mark, you were, what district did you represent when you were in the House here?
I represented the 6th District, which is a good part of Greensboro, and it covers the central part of the state, Asheboro, Burlington, a little sliver of Cary, not Wake, quite Wake County, which is Raleigh, but that central, little central part of the state.
Okay. Rainer, you had a question.
I sure do. Mark, today, Louie Gohmert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and Representative Good from Virginia went to the federal prison where the people who were arrested before their activities on January 6th are being held. They asked for a tour and to get some questions answered. They had previously written several letters and had absolutely no response. Are you aware of what happened today?
I have not been briefed as far as that visit to the prison. Matt is actually from my home area where I grew up, so we stay in contact a good bit, but I have not spoken with him today as of this
report. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened and get your gut level reaction, if I may.
Sure.
They went in, Louie Gohmert was the speaker, and asked for the tour, explained they wanted to get some questions answered. The woman who was at the entrance went to talk to someone else. She was gone quite some time. When she came back, she said, "My supervisor says to tell you, you are trespassing." And Louie Gohmert said, "Well, now, wait a minute. When I was a judge in Texas, I was willingly and happily received at both federal and state facilities. They expected to give tours. They were glad I was interested. Since I have been Here in the U.S. Congress, I have done similar things with many facilities. They have always been open to me. We have the oversight we need to fund them, decide whether to close them. It is totally appropriate that people from Congress be shown around. I want to speak to your supervisor. So she left again. A few minutes later, another woman walked through the area, the reception area, out the door and stood in plain sight a little distance from the building. Then the first woman came back and alone. And so Louis Gohmert asked her, "Where is your supervisor?" "Oh, she's out there," and pointed to the woman who just walked through the room. So he goes out to talk to her. The others follow along with him. The woman out there scurries around the corner and into the building by a different door, and they lock that door and will not let them in.
Wow. Yeah, I'm even as we're talking, I'm doing some research on this to check to see if the federal prison was actually in the city, because members of Congress actually have jurisdiction over Washington, D.C. And so they're able to set budgets and pass laws for Washington, D.C. It's one of the things that worked on the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program. But yes, so that I find this very interesting that they literally were turned away when members of Congress have jurisdiction over anything that's federal, which would be the D.C. Department of Corrections.
Yes, sir. As you're well aware, there have been rumors that they're being put in solitary confinement. Various horrible things are being done to them.
Beatings.
Beatings, yes. And, of course, they have been charged, but they've not been proven to be guilty of anything. What needs to be done about a situation like that?
Here's the hypocrisy in all of this. I think of the small business owners who were beaten and lost everything through no fault of their own. And none of these Democrats, in fact, many of the police chiefs, and I've talked with them, were given orders to stand down by their local elected officials and allow these places to be burned, to be robbed, to be pillaged. People lost everything, injured, and some of them even lost their life.
Yeah.
And do you hear any of this as part of the conversation? No. Only thing you're hearing from the left is this was as bad as 9/11. And I think that it's obviously nothing but a political tool. I'll get a hold of Matt and kind of see what the next play is on this, because I don't know that these folks can get away with this. Now, here's the hard part. As long as Speaker Pelosi is the Speaker of the House, they control every single committee and get to make every single call. Now, until she's removed, all 19 committees, any of these, probably judicial, that would have jurisdiction over this, is the committee chair gets to make the ultimate call. However, when you have members of Congress show up at such a facility, just like you would at the border, and I want to double check this, but I believe they're required by law to be able to have access to this. So what it tells me is, what in the heck were they hiding that they would not let these members of Congress be able to see?
Yep. I'd like to know the answer to that, too, and I think many, many Americans are asking the same thing, and we need to persistently inquire time after time after time.
Mark,
what we realized under President Trump was just how corrupt the entire Department of Justice is and why these people need to be held accountable, these career bureaucracies. We had some idea from time to time, but until President Trump blew the doors off us, we just did not see the poison to the level that it truly is.
We now know that we have a
jurisdiction accountability is crucial.
Yes, sir. We now know that we have a Department of Injustice.
And I can't help but think.
Correct.
I can't help but think, Mark, that this is just one big show of all of these people who are being arrested and held, because the few that have actually been convicted are being convicted on misdemeanors. They're not being convicted for the large crimes that they're portraying happen.
That's a great point. I remember at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was on a bus that day praying with a group that was coming out of Central North Carolina. Some of the finest people you will ever meet in your life. Hardworking, they just love this country, they supported President Trump. And to see this be portrayed in some kind of criminal mindset when it couldn't be more opposite. Listen, if somebody acted out, you got thugs in every crowd. If they need to be prosecuted, that's fine. But the fact that they are trying to play this, and I remember being up in D.C. where Nancy Pelosi literally had dozens of National Guardsmen about every 100 yards, and they sit there all day long, never made a single stop, never made a single arrest, never did anything but waste taxpayers' dollars away from their families. This is histrionics at its purest, or should I say darkest form.
Yes.
Agreed.
Hal, again, you know, Mark, Randis and my son works with the National Guard and the Homeland Defense up in Alaska. He said their budget had to be cut because so much Guard money got spent in D.C., and that's going on all over the country, I bet.
Yeah, Pelosi and this radical left, but here's the difference in 6 years. The older Democrats there, they know how the game is played. They move the chess pieces. The younger group of the AOCs, the Omars, and the Cori Bush, this has become their religion. Because you removed God out of the equation, so it creates a void. So what has happened, environmentalism, this left-wing radical ideology, critical race theory, you go down the list. That's why they hate anything that we stand for, is because this is now their religion, because they've been indoctrinated with it since the time they were 3 or 4 years old. That's the battle for liberty that we have in the 21st century. And I'm hoping that good people, everyday people that have maybe not paid attention as much, are engaging. What I'm seeing traveling throughout the state of North Carolina, there is an awakening, if I could use that word, of people who normally have sat on the sidelines. What I am trying to encourage is pastors and ministers to do the same. I'm sick and tired of a preacher or pastor telling me this isn't their battle. This is spiritual warfare, and if the enemy is evil, we don't have a choice to take a pass. If we don't fight the fight, then who the heck's supposed to? But I am seeing some encouraging signs across the state that people have finally had enough, because here's what's changed. 10 years ago, these radical wing nuts were still trying to work some of this behind the scenes. What's changed now? Now it's in your face trying to stop us because they think they have the numbers. They've got the music arena, arts arena, sports arena. They've got corporations have now gone woke. So they think they have it all on their side. So now, rather than trying to be sneaky about it, now they're trying to steamroll us. And that's the battle that they're facing right now.
Yep. And if the minister don't get involved, we're sunk. We need them badly.
Well, historically, we needed them. Roger Williams, William Bradford. These are people that spoke in the pulpits of righteousness to claim one historian, a philosopher, and at the same time got out there and engaged politically. This was a time when everything was on the line. I don't want to be too gloomy. I hope it doesn't get to that point. But I don't know what some of these pastors need to wake up when it comes to some of the injustices that we're seeing happen across the board.
I think some of them are waking up, and more are needed.
And I think you've hit the nail right on the head. The responsibility does definitely lie in the pulpit. We need to get those pastors back on board and doing their due diligence instead of just following along with what the government's trying to tell them.
And around every dining room table.
Yes.
You know, we do have, there was a Pastor Locke who has been very outspoken. He actually has said, if you are going to wear a mask, do not come to his church.
Woohoo!
And so he has gotten a lot of pushback, and he was actually scheduled for an interview with Chris Cuomo on his primetime channel with CNN. And he put out a big, like a Instagram or however he did it. He put it out saying, you know, this is the interview that's going to happen. This is why I tell people not to wear a mask. We are not based on fear. We are based on belief. And you are not welcome if you're going to wear the mask. And so right before the interview was supposed to happen, CNN canceled on him. No reason given. They canceled on him and would not let him speak his piece. So I think you're absolutely right. They're right in your face with the propaganda. And it's kind of look what Stacey Abrams said. If we don't do exactly what we did last year in the election, we're screwed. You know, they're saying things that they have to change their messaging on defund the police. Not what they're thinking or what they're doing, but change the messaging to get more votes.
So this is Doug. I want to throw a couple of thoughts in here. I think it's very important for us all to understand the difference between emergency use authorization for these vaccines and FDA approval. The vaccines are not approved by the FDA. The FDA has stated that there has never been a messenger RNA vaccine approved for use in the United States. And it is my understanding that the emergency use authorization legislation does not allow for the mandatory administration of an experimental vaccine. Further, that it requires full informed consent, and we're not getting either of those. We're getting a lot of blatant lies about the vaccine, about what it does, and we're getting people trying to conflate an experiment with an approved vaccine that has been shown scientifically to work. And this one has not.
No, you guys are blowing me away as far as how informed and in-depth some of these questions are or comments. You're exactly right. And even the study they're citing, I'm sure some have seen this. This wasn't a study that came out of our country. This study came out of India,
yeah.
And they're trying to use it to heighten the mask wearing, even into to the minors. But I'm telling you, where I live in the triad, there's an uprising to push back. But when it comes to the legalities that you're mentioning, you are 100% correct. And that has always been the case as far as following the FDA when it comes to different vaccinations. But that's never been approved by the FDA, so it has no legal standing. And that's why even in California, when they sued some of these churches that were closed by different governors, in the day the people in the churches are winning because there is no legal standing to be able to force these vaccinations on people. This is fear. But there's a bottom line in all of this. And when this thing came out of Wuhan, it was Clyburn that says we never let a crisis go to waste. And what this became an experiment on American people as far as how far can we push the American people? How much of the liberty that Americans have appreciated and enjoyed for 240 years or plus, how much of this are they willing to give up? And I think the left, the radical left, has been surprised just how much Americans are willing to give up, and they're going to continue to ratchet up until it's more than just a wrist slap.
Well, on March 17th, David Asher, who was the senior State Department investigator under Trump, told Shannon Bream on Fox News that they had discovered that the coronavirus was created in Wuhan by the People's Liberation Army Bioweapons Unit. Now, you know, the thing that I've told a lot of people is, so what? It's a bioweapon from the perspective of what we do about it to respond to it. You know, we've got a disease and we've got to handle the disease. That's one thing. But the fact that it's a bioweapon is a whole different issue. And I think that perhaps the one message that stands a chance of unifying conservatives and liberals alike is that this is part of a global attack on the United States. It's an act of war. I'm pretty sure it's an act of war by China. I think with appropriate investigation, we'll find out that that is the case. And I don't see any other way we're going to unify the country. We're going to have to unify the country to take it back.
Well, I agree. My concern, I think it's Doug, is how I'm hoping that could be an issue that does. I worry that we've got to be, I hope it doesn't get in a place where we have to go to our knees in a bad situation. In studying China, their military buildup in the South China Sea combined with our debt, as we just added a bunch yesterday or looking to add a bunch yesterday, it's a very scary situation. China, when we're playing checkers, China is playing chess. Trump figured this out. Well, this is actually something he'd been banging for 20 years. This isn't just all of a sudden going to get the White House. This is a major concern. If you look at the Bidens, they're not, there's not one or two takes. There are five Bidens, and I've got evidence, I can source this. There are five Bidens that have taken over more than $20 million from the CCP. So this is a huge concern. And to your point, you would hope that it would be enough to unify us, but with the embedding of the hatred of our country into the new education arena, what I see and what I hear, I don't know what it's going to take. I hope that you are correct. If there's anything that could, is when we've gone to war historically, no matter what your background, your politics, your race, your religion, when we are defending ourselves for freedom, we have come together. I hope that we've not slid too far that we could do that, because you're right. This was created in Wuhan. I don't know that we'll get the full evidence until Nancy Pelosi sent packing, because they don't want to know the truth. But if we can flip the House in 15, 16 months, I think we can have the documentation. And I'll put this. If we're able to prove this and the kind of wrongdoing that you and I believe it existed, I think our national debt and what we owe them is in play. I think unilaterally we should be able to say, you know what, we're not paying this much back because this is how much of pain and suffering and expense that we include because of your behavior. So I think that's probably a different topic for a different day, but I would put that on the table as well.
That plays beautifully in my head, Mark.
Excellent point. So, Mark, we need to take another quick break, and we'll be back after we hear from our sponsors.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest with us tonight is former representative for District 6 in North Carolina, Mark Walker. And Mark, we're grateful for the time you've given us tonight and for the way you're addressing the questions. Some very good answers. Since you are running for Senate in the 2022 election, I would like to switch the topics now to election integrity. What kind of faith do you have in our election system as it currently stands?
Well, I think all of us were shook with what happened in November. I was talking with my friend Madison Cawthorn, who's endorsed this not too long ago about this, and to make sure that these elections are with full integrity. Now, having the position up until January of being the ranking member on our intelligence and counterterrorism allowed me to do some deep diving on some of this and even looking at some of the numbers. And here's what I found. Not only were there these pockets of fraud in different places, George Soros, if you look at his lobbying efforts, after 2016, when the world, especially Soros and the radical left, were blown away that Hillary Clinton, who we were told would win by 7 or 8 points going into that night, when she lost, the radical powers that are, Soros and team, got together and said, we cannot let this happen again. So they began to put systems in place. And what they did is they took a lot of the lobbying dollars they spend in D.C., and they said, what if we could go and lobby these state legislatures to change their election laws? And that's exactly what they began to do. Then you lay COVID, the coronavirus, on top of it, and then what it allowed them to do, even in Republican state-led legislatures, they literally fast-tracked some of this. Because here's where they outsmarted us, or let me just say out-deviant, because we don't think this way, right? They realized this, very important key in this election, is that if you could create a system where it would be nearly impossible to know who was requesting, filling out, or mailing in these mass ballots, it would be almost impossible to prosecute or discover if it was a rigged election. So, do the numbers add up? No, they don't. And I'll give you one right here. In 1984, Ronald Reagan won the popular vote for the United States, almost won 50 with Mondale, Minnesota, but won the popular vote with 54,455,000 votes. If you fast-track or look at the next 32 years, the next 8 elections from 1984 to 2016, the most the popular vote increased in that entire time was by 15 million. Yet you're telling us that in one election from 2016 to 2020, the popular vote increased by another 16 million. That's what doesn't pass the smell test. Because President Trump was told, okay, you got 63 million the last time, 67 million ought to be good. He ends up getting 74, 75 million. Well, you're telling me that Joe Biden got 16 million more votes than Hillary Clinton, from 65 million to 81 million. It doesn't add up historically in any way, shape, or form. And Reagan, obviously, the reason I used him is it was such a high majority winner. But if you look at those timelines, it smells too rotten. But Soros and crew, they realized not just from the illegal side, but they figured out how to way to do this legally, because it would be impossible for courts to be able to say, well, who actually mailed these ballots in? How do you track down 81 million people? Say, did you? Well, not that they all voted by mass ballots, but how do you track all this stuff down? That's why, and I'll make this point and shut up for a second, that's why whether it's Raleigh or other state legislatures must put this thing down so airtight, I mean, from voter ID across the board, that this could never, ever happen again, because I think in Georgia, we got 2 Democrat senators because people simply felt disenfranchised and their votes wouldn't count, which obviously left us with a dire situation. But that's my take on it from inside my perspective.
Mark Rayner here. If the 2020 election was stolen, and if the perpetrators are not brought to justice in any way, do you think it's possible to nail it down so they can't do it again?
No, because it's if there's no punishment for bad behavior, what's going to stop for more bad behavior? That's common sense, right?
Right.
So if these folks aren't fully prosecuted to the full extent of the law, it's kind of like this, some of this new legislation that you're seeing in some of these big cities, no bail, no bond, all this kind of stuff. Well, there's no incentive to stop it.
Bingo.
So, absolutely. And my concern is the DOJ, as it sits right now, won't prosecute. And I think that's why it does concern me. That's why with Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch on our House Oversight Committee, we were able to force 23 resignations because we knew that turning it over to Obama's DOJ, didn't know it was corrupt as we've come to find out later, but we knew that they themselves would not prosecute. So you're going to have to get creative in coming at this, but these folks need to be exposed.
What do you think about Mike Lindell's cyber symposium coming up next month? And do you know people in the House or the Senate who plan to go?
I have not run across anybody. Like I said, I stay in touch with Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, dear friends of mine, and I'm glad to have their support. I don't know, but I will tell you this, I haven't specifically asked them if they are planning on attending or not. In fact, I'm not sure if I've got to check to see if either President Trump will even make a video appearance. I don't know for sure, but it's just one of those things it's not been on the top of my radar as far as talking with these guys about.
Mark, it was reported this morning that the Department of Justice put out a statement concerning the recount in Phoenix, that they wanted to put guardrails around it. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I think the boldness of this totalitarian mindset is getting where it knows no bounds. I had a chance to go after both James Comey face-to-face and Peter Strzok, and the more research that I did even then, as I said earlier, there was at least some effort to cover up their behavior. Now it's like, who's going to stop us? You can't stop us in the House. You can't stop us in the Senate. We have these career people running these agencies. We've got the White House. So, I'm a former pastor for 16 years. I'm not going to use an expletive, but it's basically, you're up the creek. And so what one vice president said one time, in the minority, or in the majority, you legislate, in the minority, you communicate. That's why it's crucial for shows like yours, for people, for local communities, for others, to make sure that we are arming ourselves with information that we are able to take this to the streets and hopefully salvage some of this. But I don't want to be gloom and doom, but there's just frankly not a ton that we can do to stop some of this behavior right now except point it out and hopefully people are paying attention.
Mark, I totally agree with you that, I don't think anything is going to be done and they will cheat again. We're seeing things with Biden's DOJ passing that, giving warning to other states not to do an Arizona-like audit. With the Biden standing up there saying that it's Jim Crow 2.0, this is a incendiary attack tactic to people. They're not going to go read the bill or the law themselves. They're just going to take that and run with it. But what the point I want to get across is that, and this would be important to you with you running as well, is that we cannot say, oh, well, they cheated, they'll cheat again. What does it matter? We still have to get our vote on record. We still have to get out there because people are fighting for honest elections. They are fighting for the truth. You have to get your vote on record. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you.
That is so well articulated, because every time you look the other way, you are ceding ground that you will never recover again. And that's why every battle is worth fighting, even if you know how the vote's going to go. You get up there, you roll up your sleeves, and you scrap. Here's the thing. When it comes to some of the racial division that we're seeing, we're farther apart now as a country than we were 20 years ago after 9/11.
Absolutely.
So then you say, well, who's the one driving that? Who's the one creating the division? Well, if you want to peel back enough layers, I can tell you the left, there's always one thing it's about. It's about control. And when you divide and conquer, you make yourself the dictator, if you will, of who is actually controlling the streets. And these folks do not want a unified country, because when you are, the power transitions back to the people and not to the bureaucrats.
Right. Bingo.
So one of the things that I wanted to point out, of you know, I'm one of the top cyber forensic analysts in the country. I was the chief cybersecurity strategist for a major telecommunications company. I'm not going to mention the name of the company here, but we have figured out how the election was stolen, how the passwords were captured, and how people were able to get into our voting machines. So without taking up a lot of airtime here, if you would like some of that insight, I'd be glad to provide that to you offline. What I've been telling politicians and voters over and over, and I'll reiterate again here, any time that you treat our voting data with less security than our banking information, you are doing a huge disservice to the country. So
that's actually very well said. And if they're attacking everything else, from debit cards to bank accounts, why in the world wouldn't China or Russia, even though they're not as sophisticated as China, try to attempt to undermine everything else that we're doing? And you've got to have your head to sand to think that they're not doing their best to continue to unravel us at the seams. And frankly, I have to say that they've had some success in doing so, because we have so many Americans that are walking around completely clueless of actually what the battle is in the 21st century.
Right. And it's been going on for so long. It's been going on for decades, right in front of our eyes, and we couldn't see it. We've got to take another break real quick. Mark, get it in here before we run out of time. So here's a message from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern, across from the fairgrounds, for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our special guest, former Representative Mark Walker from District 6 in North Carolina. Mark, I understand you have another engagement. Could you just briefly close out with some parting words for us?
Yeah, let me tell you, I've had a blast. In fact, I really take a lot of encouragement for people who are understanding what's going on and really... I don't think it's hyperbole to say we're at a crossroads for the very heart and soul of our country. And that's why all of us must engage. It's why I'm engaging and running for U.S. Senate. I'm not putting myself in a commercial for right now. People can look at my record and check it out sometime. But I just want to applaud you guys. Here you are gathering together, round table, to be able to talk about these issues and inform your neighbors and inform your communities. I would encourage you to keep up the work and hope we'll get a chance to get down there and visit with you guys in person.
Okay, we sure hope so also. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to being with you again soon.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, well, I hope you enjoyed the time that we were able to spend with Mark Walker. And... you know, like I said, we're going to try to bring you some of the other candidates. We invite them often from both sides of the aisle, but we don't always have people to accept the offer. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's show. It was a very interesting show, and I hope you got something out of it. Please do your own homework. Prepare yourself for this upcoming election. Get to know the candidates. Know before you walk into the polls who you're going to be voting for, not just go down and look at the R's and the D's, because folks, some of them are running under a different party just so they can get elected. Thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. We look forward to spending some more time with you again next week right here on 107.1, The Talk Station.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.